KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station.
More stimulating talk with Dan Kaplis on 710 KNUS.
But I think we're going to reach that point where either it's going to be a binary choice. You go to war or you accept a nuclear North Korea.
Boy, I think Krauthammer is 100% correct. Third option, divine intervention, and I mean that sincerely. I do believe in that. I believe in it as the founders did. I think it has been key to the birth and success of America. But you've got those three options right now, correct? I mean, it's either go to war or have a nuclear-armed North Korea that can destroy American cities with the push of a button or some type of divine intervention. 303-696-1971. The number. So let's focus on North Korea for the moment. Lord knows we have so much on the agenda after this 4th of July weekend. And boy, you know, you think 4th of July weekend, you come back and everything's going to be light. It's just not that way anymore. So I do want to circle to a topic Senator Gardner mentioned toward the end of the interview when I asked him about health care. And that was this British baby. And the fact that how can you ever get to the point where a government can be refusing the parents, you know, the ability to bring the baby home and, you know, say goodbye to the baby. I mean, it's let alone refusing care that the parents want to pursue. So we'll get into that conversation later in the show. As we go to the phone line, son, what to do with North Korea? Casey's giving me a single finger signal, but it's not that finger. So that suggests to me that maybe Wayne Williams is on the line with us now. So we'll go to the VIP line, then we'll come back to the North Korea issue. Colorado's superb Secretary of State, Wayne Williams, kind enough to join us on 710 KNUS. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing well. How are you today, Dan?
Good. Kind of an odd day, isn't it? It's a Monday on a Wednesday, and then everybody's got to gear up because there are only a couple of days left in the week, but nobody wants to gear up because, hey, you know, you get used to being off. It's a beautiful thing. How are things at your office? Did everybody show up? Is it a full work day for you guys?
Full work day. We've got a great team of folks who are here trying to deal with all of the fun, exciting issues, making business filings easy and making sure that folks can register and do whatever needs to be done.
Well, I know it's not sexy, but you guys do a great job with it because we're on your site all the time in connection with our law practice. But let me ask you about this issue now, and I know we have some sound, some national sound of you on this as well. As you did at least one national show, but the president requesting information from the states, please just bring people up to date because this has been rolling out over a holiday weekend, what the president wants from Colorado and whether Colorado is going to give it to him.
Sure. There are eight different things that are requested. The first seven of those are seeking input for the Presidential Advisory Commission. Those include, like, how can the federal government better support states in cybersecurity? Colorado, for example, is going to respond to those seven questions on the cybersecurity issue. One of the important things that we're going to point out is that when there is a breach at a local level, it's important for the state to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And in the past, they did not let states know if there was a local breach. So that's the first seven. The eighth request is for a copy of the publicly available voter data roll with certain information in it, and again, saying if publicly available. Mm-hmm. So they've asked for information, some of which under Colorado law is publicly available to anyone who requests it, some of which is not. Mm-hmm. And their request was very specific, saying that they're not asking anyone to not follow the state law. Colorado is not providing confidential information. Mm-hmm. We are very clear in that. That's what our processes are, and that's true for anyone who makes a request. Colorado will provide, just like we do to every organization from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party to MoveOn.org, we will provide the information that everybody can obtain.
So what do you consider confidential? I assume Social Security numbers?
Social Security numbers are absolutely confidential, and they will not be produced. Driver's license numbers are confidential, will not be produced. Those were not even asked. The mm-hmm. driver's license were not asked for. Let's see. Your specific date of birth is confidential and is not going to be provided.
Okay.
There is some information that is public, and that's your name, your address, your year of birth, and whether you voted in particular elections. Not how you voted, because we don't even have that information, because we don't know how somebody voted.
But your party affiliation.
Your party affiliation is public, and and every candidate who's ever run a credible campaign gets that information, uses that. They contact people. For example, if you're running in a primary, you contact people who vote in your party's primary. And so you send them mail, you knock on their doors. And so that's information that's public, and Colorado law doesn't allow the Secretary of State to say, well, I don't like that person, so I'm not giving them the public information, or doesn't allow you to say, I'm just going to give it to the people of one party or another.
And Mr. Secretary, let me ask you this. I mean, the information that the Trump administration wants, what do you think their end game is? How do you think they intend to use that information to try to determine how much illegal voting there is?
You know, the information they've requested isn't going to enable anyone to say, well, someone voted more than once, because it doesn't have enough information to do that. So I'm not sure what their particular purpose is. Colorado law doesn't allow me to make decisions as to whether to give it to someone based on whether I like their purpose or not. It says this information is publicly available. You know, obviously, I've got a name, Wayne Williams, which is not exactly an obscure name.
Right.
There are lots of people with the name Wayne Williams. So, in fact, in Colorado Springs, there was another Wayne Williams registered to vote who was born in the same year I was born in.
Hopefully a Republican.
I don't even remember that part. I just remember looking at his registration saying.
and tell me, Wayne, how much illegal voting do you think there is in Colorado?
You know, there is some. It's not widespread. We work hard to prevent it. We prosecute when it occurs. We're currently investigating with respect to the 2016 election. Obviously, you're aware that a former state party chairman has been charged with respect to voting his wife's ballot. There are, in Colorado, there's a process where ballots, when they're turned in, we've compared the signatures. And there were 21,000 instances in Colorado in the last cycle that had a ballot turned in without a matching signature, or with no signature, or with no required ID. And that's the number after the 8-day cure period. And that's till 8 days after the election. Now, some of those, Dan, were just people who just never bothered to respond. Some of those were likely attempts to turn in a ballot for somebody else. But those ballots were not counted in Colorado because our process prevents that. That process, by the way, is a bipartisan process. It takes both a Democrat and a Republican reviewing it to say, yes, it does not match, and the two have to agree that it does not match.
Secretary of State Wayne Williams, our guest. Two quick things. The former party chair you referred to, I assume that's the Steve Curtis case for those listeners who may not be up on it. And any idea where that's at in the process? And I was sad to hear that because Steve had been a guest, and I liked Steve, but he's charged with voting his wife's ballot. And at that point, I wonder how many husband and wives across the state sort of ducked under the pillow and said, geez, I didn't know that was a crime. But any idea where that's at in the process?
I'm not sure where it's at in the process. You know, once we turn things over to local law enforcement, we typically let them handle the issues because they're the experts in terms of a criminal investigation. As I said, he's been charged. I am sad whenever anyone tries to violate the law in Colorado because, you know, we work hard to make that so that voters can have confidence in the elections process.
Now, what people really want to know, Wayne, is why is Bad to the Bone your ringtone? What's the story behind that?
One of the options that the Apple iPhone
gives. They have 23 other options, Wayne. I mean, somebody had to choose that option for a reason. We want to know.
You know, I think the piano riff's kind of fun.
Oh, it is. It's well done. Hey, final question, my friend. And I think most people have a sense that overall elections are fairly clean, but there may be some pockets of voter fraud in enough numbers that it could affect outcome, at least in, you know, statewide and or local races. But is there, the way it's set up in Colorado and across the country, with so much of this being done county to county, Is there the opportunity if a county, say, is in the hands of, and of course my own bias would be in the hands of lefties, and they have a lefty county clerk and recorder, et cetera, is there an opportunity there for fraud on a large enough level to affect close outcomes if they want to go that direction?
So first, I believe that each of Colorado's 64 county clerk and recorders work very hard to ensure the integrity of the election, and that's true regardless of their party. But second, we don't rely on just a clerk, because both parties have the opportunity, regardless of who is clerk, to have election judges present and appointed. And so so one of the protections that Colorado has is we actually put election judges from the opposite party of the clerk with mm-hmm. the clerk in there to assure that there is a proper process in place. We also, of course, in Colorado and under regulations I've adopted, provide for watchers to observe the process as well. So there are a number of things that Colorado does to reinforce the integrity of the elections process.
And I have no doubt you're doing everything that can possibly be done. But what are you on the lookout for if somebody sophisticated was going to try to cheat? You know, what would that look like? What gaps are there?
There are a few gaps, and we work with the legislature to address those. For example, we started under a new law adopted by the legislature with our support. We'll now be checking the signatures on petitions for candidates, something that was not done under prior law.
Right.
So we are taking a number of steps to make improvements. One of the other things that I've articulated on a number of occasions but have not been able to succeed in getting the legislature to adopt is to require photo identification, because photo ID is free in Colorado. If you're indigent or if you're elderly, it's free in the state. I think it's one of the improvements we could make, but we're trying to make it as best as we can with the resources we have available.
Yeah.
I appreciate your comments.
And I appreciate you being here, and I know we've extended the time up, but one final question. Tell me if this is unfair. It seems to me anybody who opposes the requirement of photo ID for voting is inviting fraud. They must feel that fraud would somehow work in their benefit. I mean, I need a photo ID at this point with cash. I mean, what good reason is there to oppose a photo ID requirement?
The argument that's articulated is that, well, there may be someone who forgot their ID or doesn't have it or can't get it. And so it's one of the reasons why Colorado's law that makes it photo ID free for individuals who are indigent or elderly is an important part of that process.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work, Wayne. Appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great
day. Thank you, my friend. You too. 303-696-1971, the number. Am I missing something there, Casey? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Photo ID is required with everything, especially post 9/11. So it seems to me when you have people out there screaming, oh, that's racist, that's this, that's that, those must be people betting on there being fraud that will work in the favor of their party. 303-696-1971. We have a lot of other ground to cover, as I mentioned, but we have to turn back to North Korea, because this, as I've been talking about for many moons, no pun intended, is going to dwarf everything. And so, I think Krauthammer nailed it here. And we hate to think this clearly, because it's such a difficult question to answer. But as Senator Gardner mentioned earlier in the show, I think we're at the point where we have to answer this question. Now, the senator had his own approach to it, which you can hear again if you go back to the Dan Kaplis page on 710 KNUS.
But I think we're going to reach that point where either it's going to be a binary choice. You go to war or you accept a nuclear North Korea.
Yeah. And Senator Gardner's approach in the interview, to sum it up, was, wait a second, there's a lot we can do. We, meaning the world community, and Trump needs to be able to get Russia on board, China on board, etc. But a lot that can be done to pressure North Korea to the point where there may be regime change or they may agree to denuclearize. Obviously, that's going to take a worldwide effort, and China is going to have to be on board. And then we had the conversation about whether there's enough the U.S. can do to China to pressure China to go ahead. It's so hard to say China, isn't it, Casey, without going back to the Trump China, which was very effective, very effective. 303-696-1971. Is Krauthammer right?
But I think we're going to reach that point where either it's going to be a binary choice. You go to war or you accept a nuclear North Korea.
Is he right? And if he is, what's the proper choice? Keith, you're with Dan Kaplis, 710 KNUS. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thanks for letting me on.
Sure.
I had a comment on this North Korea thing, and after being through the Iraqi war, I'm a U.S. veteran, and I hope the American people don't get sucked into another one of these wars, because this is not Grenada. It's not going to be invading Noriega and Panama. This is going to be probably hundreds of thousands of people dying. And one thing too. Make sure the people, and especially like you, Dan, who has a son who you just said just graduated high school. I hope if you're for this war, you're also going to be for pushing him to go into the military and to fight in this war, because that's been the problem here lately. Is we go and fight these wars, these kids that have no other choice but to go into the military, and they're dying, they're getting maimed, they're getting hurt. It's destroying the VA. Make sure, like I said, I was actually almost went back in the military, toward the end of 2010, and to go fight these wars. And now I'm totally done with it. The government lies to us about this stuff. I don't trust anything coming from these warmongers that, first of all, don't have a stake, and their own children being put into these wars. And I say this to the American public, don't let these people that are warmongering allow us to get into another one of these wars that basically, in the end, millions of people could die, and the defense industry is going to become extremely wealthy again.
Well, first, Keith, thanks for your service. Sure. It sounds like you served in the Iraqi war. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, which branch?
In the Air Force.
Well, really appreciate that, and appreciate everybody who did that. And but let me ask you this on this very serious issue that you raised, and I expect we heard it come up a lot before as the question was being raised as to whether to invade Iraq, et cetera. And those who said, listen, if you're not willing to send your son to fight and die, you can't have an opinion on this. So
no, I didn't say opinion. Mm-hmm. I said make sure that you, if you support it well enough, that there should be military action, that you should be encouraged, because somebody's got to fight it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to fight it, that you would encourage at least those within your realm of influence to fight it.
Yeah,
and
I appreciate you raising that, because I do think that needs to be talked about. Because, first of all, I mean, I think you're absolutely right in one sense, and I'm going to disagree with you in another. I think you're absolutely right in the sense that as this nation sits and weighs this binary choice, and I think Krauthammer's right, it's probably going to come down to that, then one thing that has to start with is the human cost. You have the human cost first and foremost to the Americans who would be called on to fight this war. And therefore, you do not ask people to do that if there's any other way, because that human cost cannot and should not be ignored, and too often it has been. So I think you start with that. The second question, and I'm not accusing you of this, I don't know you well enough to know whether this is what you're doing or not, but there are some people out there who use this argument that unless you're willing to send your son to fight and die, well, then you shouldn't fill in the blank. You shouldn't have an opinion on it. Your opinion shouldn't be given any weight.
I never said don't have an opinion. I didn't say that. What I said is I do believe, to be intellectually honest with this, I have a son. I have two daughters. I would not support. And like I said, I've been there, been in the military. It's too many times where people that don't have a stake in this, and nothing greater stake than their own children, that don't have a stake in this, a dog in this hunt, send and willingly. Cory Gardner, I have no idea where his kids are.
Right, but this is why. Right, and you've said it well, and I respect it because you have served and I didn't. But isn't the truth that there are plenty of people out there who will not have a stake in it, who have not had stakes in former wars, including World War II, plenty of people with no skin in the game who made the correct decision to go to war? In other words, you don't have to have skin in the game to be correct about the belief that the U.S. goes to war. Can we agree on that?
That possibility does exist with some. But also, too, we know we've already been lied to about the Iraqi war. We were lied. We were lied about that stuff. I was right in the middle of it, ready to join it. No more. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to support.
What was the lie?
And here's my solution. You say, well, Keith, If you're going to be against this, then what's your idea? Well, first of all, I'm not sure what the populations of South Korea and Japan are, mm-hmm. but right now, just like in World War II, like England did, and France, whatever good they were, start mobilizing your people. I know they can put a couple million people into battle. Right now, those countries that have the biggest stake need to pay the biggest price. Start mobilizing your people in Japan. Start mobilizing your people in South Korea and get ready and let those people know that they're going to be annihilated. Now, I'm not saying the U.S. shouldn't be involved. Once they lob something toward us, toward South Korea, toward Japan, it does some damage. But you know what? Honestly, does any person with any brain right now really believe, honestly, that North Korea can actually hit Los Angeles with a nuclear weapon?
How about Alaska?
If you had a bet.
Keith, how about Alaska? Does that count?
Is it that right there? I guess it's possible, but we don't know. First of all, to weaponize a nuclear weapon on the tip of an ICBM is way beyond exploding one out in a bomb in the middle of the desert.
Keith, let me ask you a question. Hey, okay, this wasn't in the middle of the desert somewhere.
when we did one in the middle of the desert.
Right.
It's way different.
Keith, I'm talking about what North Korea just did. It was not in the middle of a desert.
It went in the middle of the ocean.
Keith, I'd love to have the conversation with you. Before it got to the ocean, where did it go? Didn't it go over 100 miles high?
I think Japan and Korea are in grave danger right now with the provocations from North Korea. I don't dispute that. I think we could probably agree with that. If they hit our country, then you know what? You turn them into
Keith, I'm sorry, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation if you want to. I respect your service. I respect your opposing point of view. And there are many things we disagree on, but we have to be able to go back and forth. So I have Keith on hold for a second while I pose his critical question. Your premise is you have to be an idiot, I'm paraphrasing, to think that North Korea has the capability to hit the U.S. There are respected experts out this morning saying based upon what's publicly known about this North Korea launch, they probably have the ability to hit Alaska now. Question as to whether they can carry a nuclear payload to Alaska. But you tell me, Keith, do you just dismiss that as nutty talk? Do you think that we give them one free bite and we have to see a mushroom cloud over Anchorage or over some other American state and city before we decide that it's time to act? What's your position on that?
Yes, sir. I do believe that.
Okay, so they get one free bite.
Hold on.
No. Listen, Keith, hold on a second, man. Hold on. I'm sorry, Keith. I want to have the conversation. I've shown you great respect, but you're not going to run me over. This is a direct question. Do we have to give them one free bite? Do we have to wait until there's a mushroom cloud over an American city before the U.S. assumes that North Korea has the capability to hit an American city? That's a yes or no question, Keith. Which is it?
Yeah, that's a legit. Okay, but that's not a yes or no. I'm not going to give you one, Dan. What I'm going to say.
Why not? Well, first tell me why you can't answer that yes or no.
No. Okay. Then I'm going to answer this way because first, let me share something. I'm a conservative libertarian. I'm not a liberal. I believe we go to war. Let's fight and do it all. But here's the thing. Once we pull the trigger, once again, it's going to be game over. And you know that China and probably Russia aren't going to sit by and let us annihilate North Korea. Now that's naive thinking to think that that's going to happen, Dan. And that's all I'm saying is that the American people, because I'm not going to support this one unless the American city does get hit.
Okay, Keith, that's what I was getting to. Please hold on for one second. That's what I was getting to. You raise many, many legitimate points. All the smart people arguing against any kind of military intervention are raising many, many smart, important points. But a lot of people like to dodge the key questions, and you have answered it, and I thank you for that. You will allow North Korea to take out an American city
I have an answer first.
No, I'm sorry, Keith. I'm sorry. I wasn't done. And I'm sorry if these ground rules seem petty, but I really have to be able to finish my sentence. And there's a point to my sentence.